As once again we look in on the stately old mansion of Inverness, the storm has knocked down the power lines. In the darkness, Jack has been led off to the dining room. So he thought. Instead, he now finds himself once again in the clutches of the exquisitely beautiful and deadly dangerous Madonna Vampira.
Oh, no, you don't. I know all about you. You're not going to have me for dinner.
Please, I need your help.
Let's just keep a little distance between us, okay?
But I need your help. Alone, I cannot overcome this thing that's inside of me, this terrible thing that makes me hurt when I only want to love.
Well, look, I'm not a shrink.
All I ask is understanding. You push me away as though I'm some hideous creature, some demon that will, what, tear away your soul, devour your mind, and cast your carcass out onto the streets of some city where you'll walk with the rest of the zombies. Have you ever in your life given anything to anyone?
Well, sure,
Oh, crap. You've given like everyone gives. I mean, given without asking, without expecting anything. Given without attachment. Given not from your head, but from your heart. Oh, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I just need help. And...
Oh, wow. Look, if I could trust you... I mean, how can I trust you?
You haven't looked in my eyes once since we've been in this room. Look at me. Am I taking anything from you?
You look like an angel.
Look like an angel.
Walk like an angel.
Walk like an angel.
Talk like an angel. But I got one.
All I ask is that we be friends.
Well, that's fair enough.
Would you like to see the jukebox?
You mean the one that plays whenever...
That one, yes. Come here.
Good grief, the wall is moving. Wow, a secret passage.
Follow me. This way.
These walls must be amazingly thick. I bet there's passageways all over the place. Is this where you live?
Yes.
Oh, what's it like?
Long and narrow.
So strange. It reminds me of the Middle Ages.
I know.
I like the way you have it fixed up.
Thank you.
Paintings, wall hangings, tapestries, velvet drapes. Oh, what's this? A harpsichord?
A clavichord.
Do you play it?
Yes.
But you aren't the one that plays the jukebox.
No one plays the jukebox. It plays by itself. The wall narrows here. Your shoulders may not fit, so turn a little sideways. The steps upward become very steep. Be careful.
Yeah, I see what you mean. It feels like a size 38 when you take a 42. These steps are something. How much steeper did I get?
Much steeper. We're entering the tower.
Well, if only there was some kind of a railing... Golly, this is almost a ladder. You sure we won't topple over backwards?
Going up is easier than coming down.
You know, I used to have dreams about this stuff. Boy, oh boy.
Here we are. There. Come in.
I don't mind climbing ladders, but steps that go straight up. Say, this is nice up here. I'll bet during the day you can see for miles.
Over here is the jukebox.
Wow, an old Wurlitzer. And it's all lit up. They must have the auxiliary generator going.
Or they fixed the power lines.
Oh, look at this thing. It's beautiful, the way it changes colors. It's really a piece of art.
Yes.
Let's see. What is there to select? Vilayat Khan, Rinpoche, Baba Ram Das, Mahishi Yoga, Van Vliet. That's weird. There's no 50s songs here. I'll try one. Let's see, where's a dime? Hey, you get two plays for a dime. I'll try B4, Baba Ram Das.
Where it is that we are on the path. And the path is... fraught with the most fantastic things. You know, right over the bend is eternal damnation. There are parts that are like a roller coaster. You just get to a high place where you're able to say Krishna's name with love, and the ego walks behind you and pats you on the back and says, pretty good.
That was short. Let me try this Venerable Van Vliet. B12.
You listen to, like, practically no rock music, or none, just about.
Well, I'd rather listen to a rock. They change a little slower. They don't try to stay so hard.
That's some Wurlitzer. What do you think? Hey, she's gone. That's strange. She must have crept back into the woodwork. What's that? A trap door in the middle of the floor. Something's coming up. Oh, it's you, Meanie Eenie.
Good evening, Master Jack. You have stumbled upon the Wurlitzer of Wisdoms. There's a price, you know.
Oh, I know. A nickel apiece. They're a little short, but, well, it's not bad.
The price is slightly more. It's just like heaven.
Wait a minute. That music. That's the other jukebox. It's coming from another tower.
Yes, and whenever it plays, it means something very naughty is about to happen.
I know. Here I am, stuck up in this tower with someone down there who's going to need help.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about it, Master Jack.
Why are you holding that big cleaver?
One pays the Wurlitzer of Wisdom in many ways, but one does pay.
Well, I thought a nickel was fair enough. But since you feel it's worth more, then more it's worth.
The price for wisdom is very high.
Well, with you standing there rubbing your thumb along the cutting edge of that cleaver, I don't feel I'm in a very good bargaining position.
Everyone pays the piper.
Well, how much is wisdom worth a pound nowadays?
Not money, you tiny fool.
Then what do you want?
The price is your heart.
Now in the darkness, except for the faint, eerie glow made by the Wurlitzer, she lunges. Jack steps aside. The heavy cleaver slices into a 2x4. She yanks it free. Jack looks desperately for something to defend himself with.
I don't consider this very neighborly, Meanie Eenie.
You'll do no more considering in a moment, Master Jack.
Once again she stalks him, Jack slowly backing as she approaches. Cleaver held high, an insane glow in her eyes. She strikes. And misses again. As she frees the cleaver from the wallboard, Jack makes a lunge for the main trapdoor. He has it open. Too late. The heavy meat cleaver has knocked the door right out of his hands.
This is the one, Master Jack!
Wait a minute. Hold it. I put a dime and two nickels in that jukebox and only heard three selections. I've got one more coming. Let's see. B2.
Well, be quick about it.
I know. And that I don't know.
Ah, that's better. Forget. A little background music. Shall we dance?
We'll dance, all right.
Now, moving back along the wall by the tall, towering windows, Jack does creep, Meanie Eenie stalking, her eyes flashing hot, the cold steel of the heavy meat cleaver reflecting the ever-changing colors of the old Wurlitzer. And again she springs, this time with such incredible speed, Jack barely moves in time, and as the cleaver whizzes past his ears...
Hey, I ain't no Vincent Van Gogh, and I don't care to look like one either.
Would you prefer, say, John the Baptist?
Well, I see little future in that.
Aye, perhaps little future for you, Master Jack. But for me, it means getting ahead, so to speak.
I see the humor, but somehow...
You miss the point, is that it?
Hey, you're pretty sharp.
Enough of this! The time has come!
Meanie Eenie lunges. With a ferocious arc, the cleaver smashes down once again as Jack leaps back. But he catches his foot on the ring of the trap door. He trips and loses his balance. Meanie Eenie sees her chance and springs for the finale. But as Jack falls backwards, a wall panel swiftly opens and in he goes. It closes behind him as the tip of the cleaver smashes through the panel.
Quick, down this way.
Boy, am I glad to see you, little Frida. That whole thing was a bit much, you know.
Shh, we'll be passing the dining room soon.
I'm certain certain he's all right. But you've hardly touched a thing this evening, Meanie.
Hey, wait a moment.
Really? Are you dieting or merely nibbling?
I don't like roast dachshund. And besides, I'm off meat.
Won't you at least have some box's ears?
I'm just not hungry tonight, Sarah. Full moon, I suppose.
Boxer's ears?
Cauliflower. Come, one.
Look, if Meanie Eenie is having dinner, then who was chopping at me with that cleaver?
Would you like to go back and see?
No. I was just wondering. Look, where are we going?
This way.
A tunnel. You know, I always knew that jukebox wasn't in the East Tower. Darn it, I saw four towers. No one believes me.
I believe you.
Really?
I believe you've seen the fourth tower.
Oh. Well, have you ever seen it?
I wouldn't be here if I had.
What does that mean?
In the last 300 years, there have been 7 people that have seen the fourth tower of Inverness, and they've all disappeared.
To where?
You will see the fourth tower again, and when you do, we must move quickly. It won't last long.
What happens if we do get inside?
It'd be nice if you were able to get back out again. Ah, this is the trap door that opens beyond the maze. Here, hold my cigar. There.
Say, we are on the other side of the maze. I've been meaning to check that out.
You particularly. You stay away from that maze. I'll explain why, but not now.
Look, you didn't answer my question. What happens if we do get inside the tower?
You will arrive at a place where you'll be able to be anywhere, whenever you wish. For the place where you'll be is outside time and space.
As we look in on the Inverness mansion, we see Jack and little Frida tromping through the pine forest that surrounds the Bay of Inverness. The rain has passed. It's night. The moon is out, casting a silver light upon the pine trees. They come to a clearing, an open field. In the center of the field is a giant oak tree, its long, thick limbs spreading outward like a creature with 1,000 arms.
Jack, this is the oak. This is the Jack.
Well, I'm glad to meet you. Should I shake a limb or something?
You don't talk to oaks like you talk to people. I'll show you how you do it. Here, sit down here with your back against the trunk.
Okay. The ground doesn't seem to be too damp.
What you do is sit for 10 or 15 minutes and feel the presence of this tree. Oaks and pine trees are best for this.
Well, what's supposed to happen?
Trees are kind of like people stuck head first into the ground. Trees give off energy, which is very pure. If you know how to tap this energy, you can charge up your batteries. Also, it purifies you. Now, what you do is sit there silently and feel the tree. Don't think about it. Feel it. With your heart. Not with your head. Some people, after a while, may even hear the tree. But everyone can get energy from a tree. Here, now we'll try it. Don't think about it, Jackie boy. Feel.
In the past, we were mind-created spiritual beings nourished by joy. We soared through space self-luminous and in imperishable beauty. We thus remained for long periods of time. After the passage of infinite time, the sweet-tasting earth rose from the waters. It had color, scent, and taste. We began to form it into lumps and eat it. But while we ate from it, our luminosity disappeared. And when it had disappeared, sun and moon, stars and constellations, day and night, weeks, months, seasons, and years made their appearance. We enjoyed the sweet-tasting earth, relished it, were nourished by it, and thus we lived for a long time. But with the coarsening of food, the bodies became more and more material, differentiated, and hereupon the division of sexes came into existence, together with sensuality and attachment. But when evil, immoral customs arose among us, the sweet-tasting earth disappeared. And when it had lost its pleasant taste, outcroppings disappeared, and other self-originated plants deteriorated to such an extent that finally nothing edible grew by itself, and food had to be produced by strenuous work. Thus the earth was divided into fields, and boundaries were made whereby the idea of I and mine and other was created, and with it possessions, envy, greed, and enslavement to material.
Jack, Jack, would you like to go?
That was amazing.
Come, one. There's something else I want to show you.
Just amazing.
It's not far from here.
And it feels like it could be true. Wow.
It's simply a matter of bringing oneself to rest. Then all will be revealed.
You know, I always knew there was something to those books about spirits that floated around in the skies. Boy, oh boy. Hey. Where are we? What a weird place.
Yes. Well, it's very old. It was used for a ritual of some kind.
Evil?
I don't understand evil. Or good.
Really? Well, as you were saying,
there are seven pillars here in a circle, you see. They would call it a place of pagan worship. On the side of the hill, over there, but in the shadows away from the moon, is a cave.
You mean over this way?
Yeah, but don't go over there.
Hey, look at this.
What? What have you found?
Down there, in the damp ground, there's fresh tire tracks. Do you see what it looks like?
A five-speed Italian pedal master.
That's right. And they lead right into that cave over there.
Oh, no, Jack.
Good God!
Ah, look out! Coming out of the cave!
Holy smokes, it's a dragon!
It's true. Stomping out of the cave, headed right for them, is a dragon. Its tail twitching, its eyes flashing, its claws oozing into the wet mud. And from its mouth and nostrils, great billows of hot fire. The pair stand there, immobile, transfixed by fear. Jack, with his eyes wide, blank, insane with fear. And little Frida, mouth dropped open, and her pigtail standing straight up on end.
Holy smokes and leaping lizards! In a second he'll be on us. Feats, do your stuff!
Little Frida stands as though hypnotized by the terrifying sight. The dragon is almost upon her. Its fiery breath billows about the little girl, singeing the ribbon on her pigtails that still stands straight up on end. In a flash, Jack streaks before the gaping, fire-spewing jaws of the dragon, snatches up little Frida, takes six or seven giant bounds, and dives headfirst into a nearby frog bog.
Oh. Hey, it's gone.
Wowie Zowie.
You think it's safe to wade ashore?
I think so. But we'd better leave quickly. Wait, I'm sorry. I've got this water all over me. Oh.
That was close.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. How badly are you burnt?
Ah. Oh.
Well, that's strange. You're all right.
Mm-hmm.
That thing singed every hair on my head, but you were standing right in its flames.
Yeah, I was looking at its eyes.
Anyone I know?
You didn't notice the eyes?
Well, I sure did. They were about the size of my head, almost. What? Oh, sorry, I had a frog in my pant cuff. Anyway, that's what Dr. Mazzulla was talking about. Dragon flypaper. I hope he knows what he's doing. What do you know about dragons?
I guess they must have been left over from the dinosaur age. Clear into the Middle Ages? And now? I don't believe anyone's been keeping this one in deep freeze.
Well, it wasn't a Hollywood mechanical model, that's for sure.
I know, but there's such a thing as thought forms.
Now, don't tell me I thought up these singed eyebrows of mine.
Well, what I'm saying is that we are constantly surrounded by other people's thought forms. Like being inside a house or a church. Someone thought it up, and there you are, in their thought form. Streets and buildings and signs, they're all thought forms. Once a Greek sculptor by the name of Takis said that his sculpture was merely a springboard to spring the mind into space. Because where the inspiration, or whatever you want to call it, where the inspiration comes from was from space. The sculpture was merely the manifestation of that inspiration. And as you looked at it, you experienced and relived where it came from in the first place. So you see, we take the forms at face value. We say, that piece of sculpture is reality. But equally real is the mind that created it. So in space is everything. All you do is reach in and give it form. But it already exists, you see? That's it! Wowie Sowie!
Huh?
I think that's it!
I don't know. I thought it was all supposed to be an illusion or something.
You think that dragon was an illusion? No. No, it's all real. It's like when you look at a seed, and resting in the seed is the potential for an enormous tree. But it doesn't exist yet. Look at this spider web. You see the dewdrops clinging to it?
Yeah. What an incredibly beautiful pattern it's woven.
It brought that pattern into existence. But the pattern existed in space, just like in the seed. It's just that the reality we're talking about is of a lesser degree compared with the highest reality accessible only to a perfectly enlightened one. It has no more existence than the objects of dreams or clouds or lightning flashes. Nah. These things as we see them are as real as the mind that creates them. But you see, like the sculpture, our mind is created. As soon as it's taken material shape, it obeys the laws of matter. And when they speak of illusion, it's all an illusion.
Well, that's very interesting, but... Well, I don't know. You mean as you're able to get back to the source, you can change the material? You could actually change your body?
Well, only step by step. By controlling them in their initial states, or in the moment they came into existence.
Then, in other words, you could become anything you wanted, materially.
If you knew how, sure.
Even become a dragon?
Yeah.
So that dragon is someone we know.
I know.
See, out there somewhere is like, you know, Jack Armstrong, Superman. It's all just as real as you are, and I am. And the Lord and the angels in heaven, how about them? What do you think, they're the figment of somebody's imagination? Huh. Nobody makes up anything.